See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. I want to share a story about a guy I think brings out the message of our first reading today. Jim and Michael work together in the communications tower industry. Michael is the kind of guy you love to hate. He is always in a good mood and always has something positive to say. When someone would ask him how was he doing, he would reply, "If I were any better, I'd be twins." He was a natural motivator. If another employee was having a bad day, Michael was the guy who would show up and look on the positive side of the situation. Watching this made his friend Jim curious, so one day he asked Mike, "I don't get it. You can't be a positive person all the time. How do you do it?" Michael replied, "Each morning I wake up and I say to myself, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. And I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to think and learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone complains to me, I can choose to accept their complaining or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life." "Yeah, right, it can't possibly be that easy," Jim said. "Yes, it is," Michael said. "Much of life is about choices and how we approach it. When you cut away all the junk, you choose how people affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. The bottom line is it's your life, it's how you choose to live it." Today's reading from Deuteronomy puts before us an important choice: life-giving choices or death-dealing choices. As beings created in the image of God, we're given this gift of free will. We have the ability to choose each and every day. The reading from Deuteronomy teaches the people that following God's commandments and walking in His ways is the way to life, and to not do so is the way to death. Jesus, through his own life, demonstrated what the choice looks like, to choose life over death-dealing ways of the world. And what happened? The world could not tolerate it, and so they killed him. Jesus, in a sense, acted like a second Moses, a new lawgiver, giving himself as the fulfillment of the old covenant. The new covenant is not merely stories in the Bible, but more importantly, it is a person, not a set of rules. Jesus expanded the scope of the law of Moses from not only overt actions, but to mental thoughts and inner intentions. Our righteousness is met by Christ himself and given back to us, the repenting, believing faith community, through justification by our faith. Humankind's religious life is a result of a relationship with God, not a means to that relationship. As I've said from here before, we do not earn our way to heaven. God provides it as a gift, whether we deserve it or not. It is by virtue of faith, not a series of actions, that demonstrates our gratitude for this extraordinary gift. Jesus' entire way of living is about making life-giving choices instead of death-dealing choices. Events leading to his own death were in reality choosing life. For us, this choice for life is not just our actions, but extends to how we approach our life and even our thoughts. Back to the story of Michael and Jim. Several years later, Michael, the guy with the positive outlook, was involved in a serious accident, falling from a 60-foot communications tower. As he lay on the ground, the first thing he thought of was the well-being of his soon-to-be-born daughter. Then he remembered he had two choices. He could choose to live or he could choose to die. He chose to live. The paramedics arrived and went right to work. They kept telling Michael that he was going to be just fine. However, when they wheeled him into the ER, Michael looked at the expression on the faces of the doctors and nurses around him, and he began to feel fear beginning to come over his body because he could see in their eyes, he's a dead man. He knew he had to take immediate action. A large nurse was shouting questions. She asked Michael if he was allergic to anything. He replied, "Yes, I am." The doctors and nurses stopped what they were doing as they waited for Michael to fill in the missing blank of what his allergy was. He took a deep breath and yelled at the top of his lungs, "My allergy is gravity." And over their laughter, he said, "I am choosing life. Operate on me with that understanding." After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Michael was released from the hospital with rods placed in his back. Michael lived thanks to the skill of his doctors and also because of this amazing attitude he had. When asked about his health, Michael would respond as usual, "If I were any better, I'd be twins. You want to see all my scars?" You and I are continually faced with choices of either life or death each and every day. And you know, we have more power over that than we might realize. I've been with people as a chaplain at their deathbed several times, and it's amazing how much power some of those people have. Those of you maybe in healthcare have experienced this. I've seen people wait and wait and wait, and their nurses will say, "Why aren't they gone yet?" Because they're waiting for a son to come in from Florida or something. They have amazing power, and when that person comes, you've seen how they can then say their goodbye and be gone. So it is how we approach our living, setting aside those things that bring each of us small deaths every single day, and opting for the life-giving choices that can change our hearts and minds and actually increase our quality of life here and now. I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live.